Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Also, folks, we want to remind you, the newsletter is very, very informative. We have a very, very informative newsletter. We have a lot of good feedback on the news. And, you know, people calling us all the time and telling us, well, I'm glad that you had that in the newsletter. I knew that, but I couldn't prove it. And now you sent the documentation, and I showed this guy or I showed that guy. And but so we, again, the newsletter is very informative. It's free. We pay for it. And I encourage you to get it because, see, our main job here is not to make money. None of us make any money, and we really don't make any money here. And, we volunteer our time and because the cause is a righteous cause. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And so, anyhow, as I was telling you about this Anthony Fauci, he's a beast. And we've been telling you about this guy since all the way back, what has been taking place since all the way 2017. And now we're going to play you a clip because, see, Style, back in the early days, and I'm talking about going back 30, 40 years ago, today, you know, there's a lot of us out here. You got Alex Jones, you got all these conservative Christian programs. Back in those days, there were few of us. The fake news media, they were in their heyday, and they referred to us as alternative media or the conspiracy media. And boy, I'm going to tell you, we were criticized and threatened and all kinds of stuff. I used to go to battle with the so-called mainstream media. Today, it's a lot different. There's a whole lot more of us out there now. Now we're not the only ones getting the story out. So, anyhow, go ahead and play that clip, and let's find out what we're talking about here.
For years, they told us it was all a conspiracy theory, a wild fantasy with no basis in reality. US-funded biolabs in Ukraine? Nonsense, they said. Adrenochrome? Doesn't exist, they said. But now, the truth is clawing its way to the surface. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, alongside Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has just blown the lid off one of the most chilling cover-ups of our time. The US-funded biolabs in Ukraine weren't just real. They were key players in a covert global operation that played a role in unleashing the COVID pandemic. But it doesn't stop there. Under the leadership of a former NIH director, Anthony Fauci, these facilities were trafficking something far darker. High-grade medical adrenochrome, obtained via experimentation and torture on young children, and distributing it through a network that reaches into the highest echelons of power. This isn't just about secret labs or viral leaks anymore. This is about the machinery of global control, and the names involved in the operation will shock you to the core. DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard has never been afraid to speak truth to power. Back when she was a Democratic congresswoman, she did the unthinkable. She went to Syria on her own, defying party leadership, and came back with a bombshell that shook the liberal establishment to its core. The Obama administration was funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
But they expressed a question. They said, why is it that the United States, its allies and other countries, are providing support, are providing arms to terrorist groups like al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, Ahrar al-Sham, ISIS, who are on the ground there raping, kidnapping, torturing, and killing the Syrian people, children, men, women, people of all ages?
This wasn't a gaffe. It was a glimpse into the deep connection between Democrat foreign policy and the globalist agenda. And Gabbard was one of the first insiders willing to call it what it was. Now, Gabbard has set her sights on slaying another Democrat icon, Dr. Anthony Fauci, granted godlike powers of creation destruction by the liberal elite over the course of an inglorious decades-long career that's involved the deaths of millions. Fauci was also responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of animals, tortured senselessly, and most shockingly, children, buried in mass graves in New York, all of whom were tortured without mercy. According to Gabbard, these known crimes are the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the crimes of the man who begged outgoing President Biden for a preemptive pardon, covering the very specific period of time.
But the thing that we are working with Jay Bhattacharya, the new NIH director, on, with, as well as Secretary Kennedy, is looking at the gain of function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other biolabs around the world, was actually U.S. funded and leads to this dangerous kind of research that in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other major health crisis.
Well, let me ask you specifically, because we already know that EcoHealth Alliance was partnering with this Wuhan lab to create, to do gain-of-function research.
That's right.
We just have never been able to have somebody say, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in on?
We are working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that, hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain of function research and what we saw with COVID-19.
I mean, that would be extraordinary because just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
That's right. Under oath.
Under oath, exactly. So is it any wonder that he sought a preemptive pardon for anything during a certain period of time by President Biden before he left office?
Things are going from bad to worse for Anthony Fauci, a man many people are now calling the modern-day Joseph Mengele. As Gabbard explains, unleashing pandemics on the world and mandating a destructive vaccine on millions may just be the tip of the iceberg. Why did Russia invade Ukraine? Gabbard offers a chilling theory. It wasn't just about NATO or geopolitics. It was about Fauci. US-funded biolabs under Fauci's influence were operating dangerously close to Russia's borders. And for Putin, that was a red line. If what Gabbard says about what was happening in those labs even scratches the surface of the truth, then Fauci's legacy is even darker than anybody imagined.
And the reason why this is so important is not just what happened in the past. It's because this gain-of-function research is happening in biolabs around the world. I got attacked, and I think you saw this. We've probably talked about it on your show before, when I warned against U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine when the Russia-Ukraine war kicked off, for this very reason. Who knows what kinds of pathogens are in these labs and if released could create another COVID-like pandemic. And for that, I was called a Russian asset. You're, you know, trumpeting Putin's talking points, all of this nonsense, simply for speaking the truth and stating facts that, by the way, are still on U.S. Embassy Ukraine's website today about how the U.S. has funded these biolabs in Ukraine. But in order to, my point is, in order to prevent another COVID-like pandemic or another major health incident that could affect us in the world, we have to end this gain-of-function research and provide the evidence that shows exactly why and how it's in our best interest, the American people's best interest, to bring about an end to it.
Want to know why the intelligence community was so desperate to cover up the truth about the origins of the pandemic? The truth is, adrenochrome was being produced at Fauci's Wuhan lab before the pandemic hit. Yes, the elite's drug of choice, sourced from the tortured and adrenalized blood of the young. And we have got the receipts. Fauci and his NIH allies were masters of secrecy, erasing digital trails, scrubbing the crime scene, and counting on the public to forget. But they underestimated us. Thanks to the Wayback Machine, the internet never forgets. And now, we can see exactly what was happening inside Fauci's biolabs back in 2017. Adrenochrome, the drug Putin calls the devil's narcotic, was deposited in Fauci's lab on the 17th of July 2018, and available on the same date. As Gabbard says, questions must be asked. Deposited by whom? And available to whom? Ukraine is the global capital of the child sex trade, and investigators warn it's home to a network of adrenochrome factories. This is why the streets of towns and cities across Ukraine are lined with missing children posters. How many of these children were trafficked through Fauci's biolab network? Did you know that adrenochrome is still available for purchase from over 119 global suppliers, including the Wuhan lab funded by Fauci's EcoHealth Alliance? These suppliers claim they're involved with adrenochrome for scientific research purposes, which is a convenient excuse also used by Fauci when asked about the mass graves of orphans and tortured dogs. The deeper you dig, the darker it gets. How did Fauci stay untouchable for so long? Simple. He was never acting alone. He was just one cog in a vast corrupted machine that stretches through the highest levels of government, Big Pharma, and beyond. But now, the pieces are coming together, and we're about to drive the final nail in their coffin. Most people can't begin to fathom the nature of these crimes, or why anybody would commit them. It truly beggars belief. While preparing for his role in Sound of Freedom, Jim Caviezel had to consult with experts, because the truth about what's happening to children around the world was more disturbing than he ever imagined.
Major problem we have is that we don't have enough theaters. And so that's why we've been telling people, God, you got to get out and buy tickets like you did on The Passion, because you created a way for us. So imagine if you're in a hydroplane speedboat and you see a wall coming. We need people to tear that thing down or we're going to go right in.
Well, when you talk about the evil here involved in human trafficking,
yeah.
You know, in the sex slavery of children.
Yes.
And like, it's the kind of thing that beggars the imagination. You know, you can barely understand how people would do something like this.
No, I understand it. I had to understand what they are thinking. I had to understand. I started from both ends, corruption, why power, what seduced. People do pretty much anything for a big major power at one end, whether it be honeypotted or what. On the other end, you got people starting with, so I worked with Tim, but Tim is very busy going on, but I had guys that helped me to understand the psychology. Or you're starting older, with pornography and you just keep going younger and younger and younger. I said, well, why would a man be interested in
a
unformed woman? He says, it's the innocence, it's a demonic thing. That they're this innocent child and it becomes more attracted to them.
Caviezel gets close to explaining it when he says it's a demonic thing. But Laura Logan says it best.
Because one of the things I asked him is, I said, I get it, but I don't get it. The children. I have such a problem with this. You got to explain this one to me. And he said, well, first of all, you're looking at it the wrong way. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, they don't define children the way you do. They don't define the world the way you do. The choices that you face are not their choices, right? They look at it completely differently. And I said, well, okay, so how do they look at it? And he said, for them, everything is defined by their one fundamental, all-consuming purpose. I said, which is what? He said, to defeat God, right? Because this is the moment. I mean, for them, it's about the real God. The true gods are them and Satan, yeah. They're, mm-hmm. right? And so he said, children are the closest thing on earth to God because mm-hmm. we are created in the image of God. And as, you know, from the moment we're created, we haven't had time to be corrupted and to stray. Mm-hmm. So for them, the younger you are, the closer you are to God, the more pain they can inflict on God. So the more you can make a baby or a small child suffer, the greater your victory over God. And that is the only consideration for them.
RFK Jr., in his role as Secretary of Health and Human Services, just dropped another bombshell. Under the Biden administration, HHS wasn't just mismanaged. It was, in his words, the primary vector for child sex trafficking and slavery in the United States. See how it's all starting to circle together? The very agency meant to protect health and human services was weaponized to play its part in a government operation to exploit the most innocent and vulnerable.
We have ended HHS as the role, as the vector, the principal vector in this country for child trafficking. And during the Biden administration, HHS became a collaborator in child trafficking and for sex and for slavery. And we have ended that, and we're very aggressively going out and trying to find these children, the 300,000 children that were lost by the Biden administration. And we have ended funding for gender mutilation, surgeries, and other kind of gender dysphoria.
It's all connected. And now, RFK Jr. is pulling back the curtain. exposing the tangled web of corruption and control, laying bare the New World Order's crimes against children for the entire world to see. As Laura Logan explains, the media are complicit in the cover-up.
And when it comes, you know, Politico, USA Today, I mean, a gazillion mainstream outlets, including the report that you showed, have talked about the blood of young children being the secret to anti-aging. And why does nobody ask, where does the blood come from? How do you get the blood of young children? And does it matter if the children are younger and younger and younger? So now you're talking, are you talking about the blood of babies now? Is that what you're talking about? No, we're fine doing articles that say, use the blood of young children to reverse aging. Or Yuval Noah Harari believes in transhumanism and that we will ascend to be gods and that most of the planet will be useless eaters and we don't need. But wait a minute, no journalist follows up and says, whose blood? Where do you get it? How much does it take? And how do you get the blood of babies? Or to Yuval Noah Harari, wait a minute, you're talking about genocide.
Laura Logan, an award-winning investigative journalist, was cancelled by the mainstream media for speaking out on this issue. To those who support this, you should do some research into the Dutroux affair in Europe. The details of this disturbing episode will fill you in on all you need to know about the global elite. It's not a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy fact. If the Dutroux affair isn't enough to convince you, then do some research into the Franklin scandal, or the nursery scandal in California in the 80s, or Marina Abramovich and spirit cooking, or the Jeffrey Epstein scandal, which is still being covered up to this day. The list goes on and on. Again, I ask you, what did Laura Logan say that wasn't true? And what happened to the kids in Haiti? The media didn't always shut down discussion about drinking the blood of children. In the 1800s, it was permissible. The McKay-Mercury and South Kennedy Advertiser reported that Cincinnati had its blood drinkers, just like New York City. The journalist, who obviously sampled a taste of blood himself, wrote that it tasted like the richest cream, warm with a tart sweetness, and the strength of a pure wine. It was a draft, simply delicious, sweeter than any concoction of the chemist, the confectioner, the winemaker. He said, before suggesting that it was the occasional indulgence in the draft of human blood that caused the cruelties of certain Roman emperors. Are we really to believe that people in the 1800s in America were drinking children's blood? The British royal family had been consuming human flesh for centuries, and Roman emperors were indulging in the occasional draft of human blood. But the global elite in today's world do not partake. There are statues all over Europe, hundreds of years old, depicting the act. This is the Child Eater of Bern, a stone's throw away from the headquarters of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Back.
Alrighty, we are back. So go ahead and comment on all that stuff.
There's one thing, and this might be an interesting takeaway from it. There's one thing that really stands out to me in that, and it's one of the closing lines there where he brings up the fact the more things change, the more they stay the same. He talks about these ritualistic blood drinkings throughout history or how this blood was worshipped throughout history, right? And it's funny, the thing that it made me think of is there's people today with medicines, with over-the-counter medicine, with prescription drugs, with medicine that you get from a hospital that's supposed to cure you, a lot of depression medicines that are prescribed willy-nilly. And it's this thought that I keep coming back to, and I have for a while now, of, well, they used to prescribe things that were terrible. They used to prescribe cocaine. They used to prescribe heroin. That we fixed that. It can't happen anymore. Why can't it? It's such an ignorant thought to think that we've completely perfected any industry, let alone a medical industry. So it's along the same lines when you think of something like this, where you see, you know, the famous lines, history repeats itself, right? Why would you think, or why would you even dismiss, I guess is a better way to put it, why would you dismiss the possibility of that even being a thing?
Well, you know, we're at the point today that at least where things are turning around. There's been some of us that have been sane for years, and some of us have been telling you, "Do you see what I see here? Do you see?" And we've been talking about this for years and years, and now, you know, one thing. You know, this is why the left hate Trump. They hate Trump, you know, and he had it right. They hate God. They hate God. The whole feminist movement was started on a movement about hating God. They couldn't touch God, and the most they could do to us men is make us miserable with their complaining. And their but babies, to kill a baby, to them that they were killing God. And that's the wickedness there. And now that the entire Democratic Party has become just absolutely obsessed, with this evil. They become virtually satanic. And so it's time, but now we have someone here. Trump is doing what we've all been saying. Why doesn't somebody do this? And he's finally doing that. And this is what's got the Democrats and the Rhino Republicans that are worthless, okay? The Rhino Republicans, and there's some of them that we have to go after big time and let people know. In fact, I'll talk about some of that tonight here. You got one fellow coming up. His name is Senator Tom Tillis. He announces that he opposes Ed Martin. Do you know why he opposes Ed Martin? Because Ed Martin wants to go after the deep state. He really wants to go. Ed Martin is Trump's nominee for the U.S. attorney in D.C. Due to the January 6th concerns. So, in other words, he wants to go after and prosecute those people that murdered Babbitt, that did all these crimes. He wants to go after these people. And this guy, Senator Tom Tillis, he, by the way, he's up for re-election in 26. And so this is a guy who's called a Republican who needs to be primaried. So there you go. United States Senator facing re-election in 2026 is willing to let crooked Judge James Boasberg, and boy is he crooked, pick the next D.C. attorney. Senator Tom Tillis told reporters in Capitol Hill this morning that he has said to the White House that he would not support Ed Martin's nomination for D.C. attorney at this point due to concerns over J6. Well, Martin wants to do what's right, okay? So there you go. So we'll remind us, come a primary, time for the primaries. Will we be reminding that? Now, I had started out by defeating the woke minds virus, and I left off. And as he was saying, what could possibly go wrong? Obviously, such a policy, both deranged and suicidal. He's talking about the Democratic Party's woke policy. One could even argue homicidal. In light of all the nation's corrupting, soul-destroying insanity already ravaging so much that Americans hold dear, it's time to leave behind the comfortable, familiar, and intentionally evasive code words and phrases designed to anesthetize everyone to the total revolution that has taken place in America, and instead to dive directly into the nuclear core of the matter. It goes on, a full-blown religious cult. Wokeism is quite literally a cult. Not cult-like, but the full-blown mandatory heretics will be destroyed, exalted religion of the left. And what is the left? In contrast, traditionally liberals, the left is code for today's full-blown Marxists and communists. We've been telling people this since back in the 70s. Marxism being the ideology and communism is implementation. Since most cults have an outer circle for the unwashed masses and one or two inner circles populated by the power-obsessed elites, where the cult's true but hidden agenda becomes apparent. Let's start with the outer realm of the cult of wokeism and then delve inward. On the surface, wokeism, perhaps diversity, the first element of the DEI trinity. Diverse literally means different. That is, check your dictionary, but how you ask can be different become the basis for hiring an air traffic controller, a controller, doctor, policeman, or president. What if the candidate is different because he or she is insane or a total idiot? Well, there you go. I mean, folks, or criminal sex maniac, or perhaps just today unfit for the job. Don't laugh. This is precisely what diversity has come to mean in today's woke America. A few recent high-profile real-life examples. What if a non-binary, they-them pronoun-using, dress-wearing, lipstick-using, mustache and goatee-supporting biological men who specialize in repeatedly stealing women's luggage at airports so he can revel in their underwear? Yes, really? Suppose that person were elevated to a critical position in the federal government Office of Nuclear Energy. That's exactly what Biden did. That's exactly what that maniac did. That's right, Sam Brinton, the disgraced Biden-appointed executive who was chosen for this sensitive and important federal leadership role because of, not in spite of, his obviously deranged appearance, activities, and personality. That's diversity. Have you ever seen pictures of him, Style?
Unfortunately, I have.
Just unbelievable. I mean, you would never thought that. I mean, you have to be a sick mindset to get a guy like that. I mean, you know, obviously, a guy like that's, he's not there. He's not running on eight cylinders. He's mentally deranged. But you have to be just as mentally deranged to put him in a position like that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it goes back to the basics of this whole conversation, but anyone who is enabling this is obviously not helping this. They're doing it for their own profit, their own well-being. They're not doing it for the people who are actually going through these mental difficulties, because that's exactly what they are. And, you know, the correct answer would be to seek treatment for it and not promote it.
What about Admiral Rachel Levine? Oh, my. Oh, my. The biological male, born Richard Levine, who was chosen by Joe Biden to be U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health after being promoted to the rank of admiral and put in charge of the United States Public Health Service Commission Corps. Why choose a ridiculous-looking transgender person who, very appearance and speech are profoundly off-putting, disturbing, and to the vast majority of Americans, laughter-inducing because of diversity? And just recently, the Hollywood Bowl announced that in its upcoming new stage production of Jesus Christ Superstar, Jesus, the Savior of the World, would be portrayed by Cynthia Erivo, a black, hyper-radical, queer, and bisexual woman with a nose ring, how diverse of Hollywood. Again, this is insanity. And not only that, but I mean, this is just pure evil. Yet these examples barely scratch the surface of how the woke religion tenet of diversity plays out every day in American society. One of the most prominent diversity hires in American history was Kamala Harris, whom Joe Biden chose as his vice presidential running mate, and who later became the Democrats' 2024 presidential candidate, specifically because she is a so-called woman of color. But she's not even black. But anyhow, in late April 2020, as the National Public Radio reported at the time, more than 200 black women who are leaders and activists within the Democratic Communist Party signed an open letter to the presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, calling on him to select a black woman as his running mate. In effect, said the letter, that the road to the White House is powered by black women, and black women are the key to the Democratic Communist Party victory. Biden had already vowed the previous month to choose a woman as his running mate so that he was set in stone. But the pressure to pick a woman of color, let me ask you this. What about white women? Are they colorless?
Don't you know white women are the next worst thing to white men?
Hmm. I mean, look, you know, when you have this, when they're talking about this thing, color, the last I look, white was a color. In fact, if you go into a paint store and you ask what color paint, and they'll say, what color white? Do you want light white, dark white, brilliant white? Okay. But white's a color, isn't it?
Well, I mean, on top of that, even, I get where you're coming from here, but on top of that, even, you know, we got rid of segregation, or so I thought, so why should it matter what color anyone is?
Well, it's because if under Biden, if you were going to get a job, you had to be a certain color. And so there you go. Now, he goes on to say, Biden had already vowed the previous month to choose, well, let me go back here. All of this brings to us equity, the second member of the woke cult trinity. Harris herself explained repeatedly with crystal clarity exactly what equity is really all about. It's about communism. Indeed, as Elon Musk asserted specifically during the 2024 presidential campaign season, Kamala is quite literally a communist. Of course she is. She wants not merely equal opportunity, but equal outcomes. Musk posted a brief video compilation on X, which Harris' daughter, a prominent Marxist economist, Donald J. Harris, repeatedly offers a textbook communist explanation of equity, not equality of opportunity, as Americans might think, but equity of results. Everybody should end up in the same place, Harris repeatedly insists, and that's called communism, folks. What about inclusion? Okay, we'll be back right after this.
Welcome to God's World. It was for you and I that he was crucified.
All righty, we're back. You know, I was talking earlier about that Tom Tillis announcing he opposes Ed Martin. Something very important about that. Here, should Tillis' opposition hold crooked Judge Boasberg? He's the one that keeps getting assigned to cases concerning Trump. Now, this is not normal. That's not natural. It's the system's being rigged. He keeps being assigned to handle cases, lawsuits, and that again brought against Trump. And so, should Tillis' opposition hold, crooked Judge Boasberg will almost certainly make the selection. This would be a tragedy since Martin has been so essential in helping drain the swamp and holding violent thugs accountable since being named the interim D.C. attorney. As Jim Hoff reported, Laura Logan recently published a tweet on X with four possible turncoat senators, Collins, Tillis, Cornyn, and Cassidy. McConnell is also rumored to oppose Martin. Republicans face a May 20 deadline to confirm Ed Martin. Otherwise, Boasberg will appoint his replacement, and it will be a radical leftist who will let violent criminals run free while law-abiding conservatives are persecuted. Boy, folks, if these rhinos do that, if they betray us, we have to work hard to make sure they're priming, they're out of there. As Hoft notes, if the Senate does not act by this date, Judge James Boasberg could appoint a replacement U.S. attorney under the law that allows federal judges to fill vacancies that remain unoccupied for an extended period. Supporters of Martin, including conservative figures and activists, have urged Senate Republicans to expedite this confirmation to prevent Boasberg, perceived as a left-leaning judge, from a selected successor. Some Senate Republicans, including Senators Bill Cassidy, John Cornyn, and Tom Tillis, have been identified as holding up the confirmation process. And so, this is an article like this should be something, this would be a very good one that we would remind people that they need to take action. And that would be a good article for the newsletter, possibly. All right, we have Pastor Hal with us. Hey, Pastor Hal, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's happening in Hal's Word?
Well, I was just reading on Proverbs chapter 4, 16. It reminded me of the Democrat Party to a T. It says, "For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and they sleep; their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." But here's the Christians. "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So we're living in a Sodom and Gomorrah world right now. But thank God that He's going to be coming soon and getting us out of this cesspool. In the meantime, we need to let our light shine, and we need to be bold, and we need to have a backbone to stand up against the ungodliness that's facing us.
Amen to that. You know, here's some very quickly. This Stephen Miller, boy, I'm going to tell you, he's this fellow. He's the chief of staff for Trump. But he really says it like it is, and boy, we need more people like him. He says, Stephen Miller's first American First Legal drops bombshell lawsuit against Chief Justice John Roberts. You know, that's what we have to watch, the enemy from within. Stephen Miller's American First Legal has filed a bombshell lawsuit against Chief Justice John Roberts in the capacity of presiding officer over the Judicial Conference of the United States, and Robert J. Conrad, Director of the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. The lawsuit accuses the powerful duo of running what the American First Legal firm describes as an unconstitutional shadow agency and violating federal transparency laws. See, the deep state is deep. It's everywhere. The lawsuit filed on April 22nd slams the Judicial Conference of the United States and the administrative arm, both overseen by Chief Justice Roberts, as rogue executive agencies that have collaborated with far-left lawmakers to wage lawfare against conservative Supreme Court justices. And you have that. That's that club, that dark club of judges, and Roberts is a part of that. According to the lawsuit viewed by the Gateway Pundit, for several years, the media has enterprising lawmakers have launched an onslaught to destroy the impartially and political neutrality of Article III courts, particularly the Supreme Court. Justice Thomas, Alito, Kavanaugh have all faced political and physical threats because of the politicization and weaponization of the law. The lawfare has been led by Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and Representative Hank Johnson, relying upon an ideologically favorable legacy media to falsely accuse justices. Thomas and Alito have ethical improprieties, and their aim was simple: to chill the judicial independence of the Supreme Court justices. According to the explosive complaint, the Judicial Conference and the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts long presumed, except from the Freedom of Information Act, have functioned more like executive agencies rather than neutral arms of the judiciary. AFL argues that these entities must comply with the Freedom of Information because they exercise executive powers, including responding to congressional oversight and issuing binding regulations, all under the direction of Roberts himself. There you go. So, I mean, we're going to be in a constant battle until the very day the Lord comes back, huh?
Sure.
But the good news is we know for a fact he's coming back, right? Is his return imminent?
Could be tonight.
Yep. It could be. That's right. Like this track, one of the gospel tracks over here, it says, before you're finished reading this track, and that's a possibility. And so, but people have been saying, well, you've been saying that for years and years and years. That's right. But has God always done everything that God said he would do?
He sure has.
He's always done exactly when, exactly where, exactly how. And did he tell us, did he give us a date? And when? Right. But he said, when you see these things happening, know that the time is near, even at the door, huh?
Right.
And so, and a lot of those things, a lot of them, that he said, we're seeing taking place today, aren't we?
Everything's ready for the rapture to happen and the Antichrist to pop up after that.
And so, it's imminent. It's going to happen. The problem of it is the vast majority of people out there are clueless, aren't they?
They sure are. They're biblically ignorant, and that's to their own shame, and that's why they're so clueless.
But isn't that exactly what the Bible says? It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, okay? And so he's telling you that they're not going to be prepared when the day comes, are they?
Nope.
They're going to get caught totally unawares, aren't they?
They sure are, and they're so wrapped up with the world and the garbage in it that, you know, they're going to reap what they sow.
So, out there right now listening to us, it would be, it's quarter to midnight here, but over there on the West Coast, it would be only quarter to nine, huh? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, there are people out there, many of them driving around listening to us in their cars or there at home and listening to us on the radio. And a lot of those have not yet made a decision. I mean, they just, I've heard him. He gives that invitation every night of the week there. And so You know, maybe one of these days I'll stop and maybe I'll do that before I get too old. Maybe I'll call upon the Lord because, well, right now I'm not ready. I still got things I want to do and I kind of enjoy my sin a little bit. What would you say to those people?
I'd say they're playing Russian roulette where their soul is concerned, and there's nothing dumber than that.
That's pretty dumb, you're right. What about those folks that think, well, I guess I'll be all right until this rapture takes place? Whose call is it from the time the Lord Jesus said to the man that had all the silos, remember the rich man who had decided, well, I'm going to make a bigger profit because we have really good crops and I'm going to build more silos. He never thought of sharing some of that food with the hungry, the poor and the hungry. And so then he was thinking, I'm really going to clean up. I mean, I'm going to get rich, right? But the Lord said to him, but today, your soul is required of you. So whose call is it when our soul will be required of us?
God's call.
You're absolutely right. It's God's call, huh? Well, tell the folks how they can be ready to get to heaven and avoid that burning lake of fire.
Well, you can't get to heaven with your sins on you. You know, God loves you, but he hates your sins. And every sin you've ever done in your whole life is like a cord wrapped around you. You can't see it, but the Bible talks about the cords of our sins. And those cords are going to be like heavy anchors taking you straight to hell the moment you die. If you don't have those cords cut, if you don't have those sins washed away by the blood of Christ. And when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to transfer your sin and mine onto his son Jesus. So when Jesus said, it is finished, that means all the work that he went through, all the torture, all the pain, all the suffering that he went through on that cross, it was in our place. And when he said it's finished, that means God accepted what he did as payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. But now that payment don't become ours automatically. John 1:12 said, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You have to receive that payment. And you know that payment, that those sins were washed away by the precious blood of God himself, whose blood was flowing through the very veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in Ephesians 1:7, he says, in whom ye have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart with a repentant heart, he comes in, he takes his blood and he washes your soul clean. He also gives you a spiritual birth through the Holy Spirit into the family of God and gives you eternal life right then and there. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a free gift. It's not through your church membership or your good works. Listen, if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again to the day you died, which would be impossible, just the sins you already did would keep you out of heaven and send you to hell. There is no other way to get to heaven than through Jesus Christ and what he did for you on that cross. That's why he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means you don't get to heaven by praying to Mary, Peter, Paul, the saints. You don't get to heaven by having somebody in a dress, religious person, waving absolution over you and all this other junk. You get to heaven through receiving Jesus as your Savior. And how do you do that? John 1:12 said, but as many as received him. Ephesians 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to wash away your sins and give you eternal life, and you call upon him, that means pray and ask him to come into your heart, he's going to do it right then and there. Folks, God hears me talking to you right now, wherever you're at. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart this very moment. And if you, by faith, no matter where you're at, ask Jesus to come into your heart, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, that's what your repentance is, and asking him to come into your heart, he's going to do it. That's God's promise to you. Now, my job as a preacher is to lead men and women of Christ. If you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your heart and you'd pray with me a simple prayer where we could pray together, but even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. Let's do it right now. Let's do it before the devil talks you out of it, tells you to put it off, and ends up getting your soul down in hell, you know, with you dying suddenly by putting it off foolishly. Besides that, without Jesus in your heart, you don't even have life. You're like a walking dead man or a walking dead woman, physically alive but spiritually dead. Jesus came to give us abundant life, and that happens when he comes into your heart as your Savior. So pray this prayer with me. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I believe, Lord Jesus, you died on that cross to pay that payment in full that had to be paid for me. And I hear now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it, 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John speaking to those who received Christ, just like you. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That word believe on meant that you received him, not just had the facts up in your head. To believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. That's not think it, not wish it, not hope for it, but know. That's 100% certain. That you have eternal life. And that ye have is present tense. That means right now. The very moment you sincerely prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart as your Savior, trusting him and him only for your salvation, he came into your heart, and he's there right now. And that's God's promise to you, and God cannot lie. So, folks, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'll see you in heaven someday. Go ahead, Pastor.
All righty. So, again, when you're talking about that, this is reality, what we're saying. You know, for 2,000 years, people have been telling you, the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never. Christians have been given this, you know, this invitation, and we're really coming up close to the end of all this. You can feel it in the air. Well, just like we're coming up to the end of this radio program here tonight. But folks out there, just again, remember, the time will come. This will happen. There's absolutely no chance it won't. Every single individual that's alive someday will die, then the judgment, and you will end up in heaven or hell. We are eternal beings. People don't go out of existence. Folks, we don't go out of existence. We simply change real estate, if you will. We're going to change form and change real estate. And so you got that opportunity. We're out there. This is why we do it every single day. We tell you, there's nothing that will matter as much to you, ever would, ever could, ever should matter as much to you, folks, as where you'll spend eternity. And that's a reality. Well, we're out of time for tonight. Thanks for being here with us. And we always say at this time, good night. Okay. God bless.
God bless.
And then we always say it, always, 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 ready?
Keep
fighting the fight.
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 Fight. Fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.